Welcome to Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Our guest today is Tim Schmidt. He is Executive Director of United States Concealed Carry Association and the publisher of Concealed Carry Magazine. Tim, welcome to the program. I think I'd like to start by you telling us just what is the United States Concealed Carry Association and what your intentions are and your goals and principles.
Sure, no problem, Aaron. Before I start, just want to say thank you very much for having me on your show. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. The USCCA, Aaron, is a national association that promotes concealed carry, self-defense, and what I call the original intent of the Second Amendment. We can be reached at www.uscca.us, or you can call our toll-free number at 877-677-1919.
Tim, when you say the original intent of the Second Amendment, what exactly do you mean by that?
That's a very, very good question. Let me start this by just bending your ear for a second. I'll read the actual Second Amendment to our Constitution. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and the USCCA, the framers of our Constitution, we're talking about self-defense here. They weren't talking about duck hunting or shooting trap. The Second Amendment simply affirms our God-given right to self-defense. Self-defense against criminals, foreign or domestic. The USCCA and myself believes that any infringement on the right to keep and bear arms is flat-out unconstitutional.
Tim, are there any states that are doing what you would consider to be concealed carry in the right manner?
Actually, there are. Not too many, but there are. There are actually two states that are doing it right, and that's a fantastic question. And those two states are Vermont and Alaska.
What is it about these two states that is so great?
Well, the thing about Vermont and Alaska, and this is maybe a little ironical for some people, is that they actually don't have concealed carry laws. So in essence, you don't need to ask the permission of the government if you want to carry a gun. Aaron, here's the bottom line. If you have to ask the permission of a government official to exercise a right, well, my friend, let me tell you don't have a right there, you have a privilege. And as far as I'm concerned, to have the ability to defend your family or yourself, it should never be a privilege. Most states that do have concealed carry laws, they have all these crazy, unfortunate inclusions in the laws that make it illegal for quote-unquote permit holders to carry guns in churches, schools, restaurants that serve alcohol. So essentially what these inclusions are doing are they're creating these gun-free zones. Well, the problem with that is that the only people that ever adhere to these gun-free zones are law-abiding citizens. So one of the true best benefits of eliminating concealed carry laws like Vermont and Alaska have done is that you, in essence, create what I like to call a level playing field. The criminals no longer have an advantage. They may still have a tactical advantage of surprise, but they will not know who will or will not be armed.
Well, I do have to share with you the JPFO position on concealed carry, and we've discussed this before. As you bring out, being able to defend our life is a God-given right. It's a natural right. And I find it immoral when the state tells people, well, we do not recognize God's law, but you must adhere to the state's law. And the state's law is that we will take away your God-given right, and for a price, we will allow you to have a revocable state-granted privilege, and we will tell you where you can defend your life. So I think that our present situation of concealed carry laws in America are indeed immoral, and I think that we absolutely have to work overtime to make sure that every state is like Alaska and Vermont.
Couldn't agree more, Aaron.
Why don't we pursue this a bit? Let's go back to your organization, the United States Concealed Carry, and tell me, how does your organization promote concealed carry and self-defense?
Well, at the point we're at right now, Aaron, we do it in two distinct ways. We really provide information and support to our members. We do this through our magazine, like you mentioned before, our newsletter, and we have a free email report that goes out regularly. And really the main goal of this support is to help our members realize that, they're not alone in what I would consider an admirable decision to always be armed. And if I can just expand on that a little bit, right now in just the general mainstream media, the armed citizen gets, I would say, absolutely no support in terms of, lifestyle affirmation. So Concealed Carry Magazine really, when our subscribers get and members get that, they get that feeling that, wow, I'm not alone here. account. That's the number one way that we provide support. Number two, as we get larger, we will begin what I like to call a positive offensive approach to spreading the good news about self-defense and concealed carry. Now, we're going to do this through both traditional media, newspaper ads, radio ads, TV ads, as well as non-traditional media, blog ads, web forum ads, podcasts, etc. And our whole goal will be to counteract the massive amount of negative press that currently surrounds private ownership and use of firearms for self-defense. So those are pretty much the two main ways that we will and currently support our members.
Sounds very ambitious, long overdue. Why did you start this organization?
That's a great question. I started the USCCA because, as you know, I live in one of the four states that currently deny the right to self-defense. That's Wisconsin. About 5 years ago, I happened to be reading a few books, which I do a lot. I read a lot of books, and these books opened my eyes to self-defense, firearms, and the Second Amendment, if you will. Furthermore, it was about this time that I started having children of my own, and that really opened my eyes to my responsibility as a father and husband to be the one that needs to protect my wife and children. So, needless to say, when I started to do this research, I was quite upset to learn that my great state of Wisconsin that I lived in actually makes it illegal to carry a concealed weapon. So that's why I started the USCCA.
Well, in my opinion, the state of Wisconsin is not concerned about saving lives or preventing criminals from prospering when they have these types of laws.
I couldn't agree more.
So how long has the USCCA been around?
Well, I started the association in August of 2003, so that would make us a little over 2 years old.
Well, good. Yeah. And how many members do you have?
Right now we have approximately 10,000 members, but we're growing quite rapidly, about 700 to 800 new members per month. So we're really growing fast. Just a little side note, we actually currently have members in every state of the union. However, we do not have any members in the District of Columbia, which I guess doesn't surprise me too much.
No members in the District of Criminals. Okay. How can people join your fine organization?
The easiest way, Aaron, to join the USCCA is to visit our website. And like I mentioned before, that address is www.uscca.us. Now, once you're at the website, you can click on the membership information button and just pretty much follow directions. It's pretty self-explanatory. Now, if you don't have easy access to the internet, you can always call our toll-free phone number. That number is 877-677-1919. And we answer phone calls Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. So it's relatively easy to join. And there's also lots of additional information on the website that you can check out.
Okay, and the website address again?
Aaron, that's www.uscca.us.
What kind of benefits do you offer members, and what are some new ideas that you're working with?
The benefits package that we have right now for all new members is they're immediately signed up for a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine. That comes out 8 times per year. And that publication has been growing at a rapid pace, and I guess being further developed. When we first started it, Aaron, it was literally printed on newsprint paper and one color, and quite frankly, it just didn't look professional. Now I've got a professional designer, and it's full color. It just looks fantastic. So you get the 8 issues of Concealed Carry Magazine. You get a membership card, a USCCA bumper sticker / membership decal. We come out with a quarterly newsletter and something we're kind of still having in the works, an audio version of the magazine called Concealed Carry Audio Magazine.
You're listening to Talking to America with our guest, Tim Schmidt. Here once again is your host, Aaron Zellman.
Tell me a little bit about Concealed Carry Magazine. Most people have not heard about you.
Okay. I'll tell you, Aaron, before I launch into this, you may have to stop me because I can talk about Concealed Carry Magazine for days on end.
No, you won't. Not here.
Concealed Carry Magazine is quite a bit different than your typical gun magazine. And just because of the long name, I'll refer to it as CCM. So CCM is not so much about the guns being carried, but it's rather about the people carrying the guns. Each issue contains an article, and now it's actually 2 articles that we call the CCM profile. Now, this is a profile of an everyday person, and usually they're actually members of our association, who has made the decision to always be armed. And it's our intent to use this as a tool to show others that people that carry guns, they're not rednecks like the media would have them portrayed. But, you know, there are accountants, business owners, clergy, moms, dads, grandparents. There's an interview section in this where we ask them questions about their lifestyle, et cetera, what caused them to decide that, hey, I want to be an armed citizen. And there's usually nice photographs. And it's just a real affirming article. And that's probably the most different thing you'll initially realize when you read Concealed Carry Magazine.
Yeah, the magazine you have now is very slick. It's very polished, very professional. You know, there's a lot of gun magazines out there, so I think people would like to know what they can expect to see in Concealed Carry Magazine that they will not see in some of the newsstand gun magazines.
That's a fair enough question. Like I said before, the main focus of Concealed Carry Magazine is the armed citizen, the actual person. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we have lots of articles on gun reviews and gear reviews, holster reviews, etc., but what you'll find is that the majority of our editorial covers people and the people that live the armed lifestyle. Just to give you a quick rundown of some of a sample of our regular columns, I think this will give you a flavor for just a little bit how different our publication is. One of our most popular columns is called The Ordinary Guy, and this is actually one of our members called us up and said, "Hey, Tim, you know, love the magazine. I like to write. Can I just write a one-page column every issue that just kind of gives a perspective of the ordinary guy, not some gun writer that gets guns sent to him all the time?" And he just does a great job. He talks about stuff that your ordinary person can really relate to. Another column we have is called Cocked and Locked. This is a column by, I call, the infamous Robert Boatman. I'm sure some people have heard of Bob Boatman. He's written quite a few books, but this guy writes with an unbelievably dry wit, but he really brings his point home. Another favorite column. Here's another huge one, Aaron, and this is another suggestion from one of our members. It's called The Armed Senior Citizen. About a year into the magazine, we had a guy call us up and say, "Hey, you know, how about if you have a special section for the armed senior citizen?" Because when you think about it, a person who may be older, you know, maybe a little physically limited, they're the ones that need self-defense even more so. So got this column, and every single issue talks about senior citizen-specific issues, whether it's maybe arthritis or all kinds of stuff like that. It's fantastic. Another one we have is called The History Corner. This is just a short little column that kind of discusses the wonderful firearms heritage of our country, which there's really not too many places you get to learn about that. And then the last column that we have on a regular basis is called Street Tactics, Reality-Based Gun and Knife Fighting, again written by a famous gun trainer, Gabe Suarez. Gabe does a great job covering every imaginable aspect of gun and knife fighting tactics. I think what you'll find is that there's so much how-to and what-to in Concealed Carry Magazine. We really focus on the importance of training and the whole people aspect of it. How's that for a synopsis?
Well, it's a start. there's some fascinating articles in here, aside from the columns. And why don't we take some time to talk about a few of them? There's a long list of them here, but why don't we just go through some of these? I'll give you an example. A couple of them that really caught my eye. People would never think of this, but belts, more than just a way to keep your pants up.
Sure, yeah, that article appeared, I believe, the last July issue. A lot of people will overlook the importance of a good quality belt when it comes to concealed carry. And quite frankly, an inappropriate belt can render a weapon, a gun, useless. I mean, if your holster is not situated properly and you go to draw that gun, you may be just drawing nothing. So
don't buy cheap belts.
Exactly, yeah. You got to buy a good quality inch
unless
and a half.
Unless you don't value your life, and go ahead and buy all the cheapies you want. Okay.
Exactly, and this article goes in and explains exactly how that can happen and what you need to do, what you need to look for in a good quality belt.
I'm intrigued by the article, How to Make Your Wife Hate Guns.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately, that's a subject that just too many of us guys are experts at. kind of a tongue-in-cheek account of what your typical guy does to literally completely alienate their wife or girlfriend from the whole firearms lifestyle. Honestly, it's a hilarious article, but unfortunately all too true. The author, I'm pretty sure it was written by a woman, and the context of the article was how this woman's husband used to act with respect to firearms. You know, he'd clean his guns on the kitchen table and leave leave the cleaning fluid all over the place and take her to the range and just nitpick her to death. Wouldn't even let her shoot. Try to give her 1,900 tips before she can even get three rounds off. So she just does a really great job of kind of leading us guys into how we can get our women in our lives to really appreciate firearms.
Okay, what about this one, cocked and locked? Your gun's diet is more important than your own.
It's another great article. This is, like I mentioned before, the Cocked and Locked column is actually by Bob Boatman. And like so many of his columns, they're just right on the money. This one has to do with the fact that there are just so many types of ammo out there. You know, you go to look at any of the gun catalogs and your eyes just start to glaze over after you look at the 100 different kinds of ammo. So this article, you know, this is not, you know, 9mm versus 45 auto. It's rather, it does a great job of explaining and contrasting the different types of hollow points, jacketed hollow points, frangible hot loads, etc. And Bob really makes the point that unless you make a concerted effort to choose exactly what's going to work best for you and then prove that ammo works in your gun on a consistent basis, you're really taking your life in your own hands.
Another couple articles are really intriguing. The psychological preparedness for combat survival.
Yes, that's a great piece by our like to call him our resident doctor, Dr. Bruce Eimer. He's a guy that's really helped a lot with both the USCCA and Concealed Carry magazine. That was a cover story, and this piece explains how training isn't only physical. You know, your body works in conjunction with your mind, and Bruce explains in extreme detail how you have to train your mind as much as you train your body so that you're ready for any situation. A lot of people just focus on the training of the body, and the mind is just as important.
In a previous discussion we had, you said that one of the articles you were most proud of was "The Armed Senior Citizen Refused to Be a Victim." Can you take a few moments and elaborate on that?
Sure, yeah. The reason I said that I'm the most proud of that is just because it was taken as a suggestion from a member, and I like to think that we're very responsive to our customers, and so yes, this, you know, I'm very proud of this column. The idea did come from a member, and since we've started the Armed Senior Citizen, that is probably the most popular. When we get letters to the editor, most people are writing about that column because it's just that popular. But every issue goes into minute detail of all the special considerations that a senior citizen must pay attention to when going armed. I mean, there's just a ton of fascinating information on this subject. You know, off the top of my head, Bruce covers things like situational awareness from the perspective of a senior citizen. Again, more of that mindset, you know, having the mindset exactly knowing what you are going to do if you ever are in that unfortunately dreadful situation of having to defend yourself. And probably the most important, good steps you can take to avoid confrontation and to avoid potential violent encounters.
You're listening to Talking to America with our guest, Tim Schmidt. Here once again is your host, Aaron Zellman.
One of your stories talked about a radical shift in the way society thinks and feels about firearms and self-defense, and it was called Workplace Violence and Guns. And that's important to a lot of people, so if you could talk about that, because this is an article I think that everyone should get their hands on.
The article you're referring to is another recent cover story called School Shootings, Workplace Violence and Guns. And like you mentioned, the main thrust of the article talks about the radical societal shift in the way that just your everyday average person feels about firearms and self-defense. And like most of our writers, you know, the guy that wrote this column, he pulled no punches when it comes to explaining the true deadly consequences when firearms and weapons and self-defense become taboo. Because then essentially what you have are a whole society of people that are afraid of guns and don't know the safety rules of guns. Unfortunately, what happens is that now, instead of the good guys having guns and being familiar with firearms and self-defense, now the only people that are familiar with that are the bad guys. And so it's a situation ripe for trouble. And as I'm sure you can attest to, all of the news stories that we hear about the workplace shootings and the school shootings, you know, that's what happens.
I have a question for you. We had not discussed it previously, but does your association take any position or offer some articles, perhaps, on how we got into this mess in our society, where there are people who just don't understand or appreciate firearms ownership or who fear guns?
The association doesn't have any documentation or any articles referencing that specifically, but I can certainly give you my opinion. I think that it's just like all of the ills in our society. It's a problem with previous generations' parents. I mean, who should be teaching children about weapons and firearms and self-defense and freedom is your parents. And my dad taught me about firearms. He taught me about freedom. But there's certainly lots of people my age whose parents never taught them about that. And I personally think that's one of the big problems, and you could probably take it back another generation, and they're, you know, the current kids' parents' parents. That's my take on it.
Okay, that works for me. Another article you have here, it's called, "But What Do I Tell My Mother?" and Other Vexing Social Questions. I know at JPFO we get calls from people saying, well, what am I going to tell my mother, or my aunt, or my uncle about that I'm interested in guns, and I believe in self-defense, so... Maybe you can talk about that a bit.
Sure. That's another popular article that we recently did. And like you mentioned, the article handles the problems that far too many armed citizens, if you will, have to deal with. And that is, you know, what do you tell your loved one, and maybe completely afraid or even against firearms? And if you're in the unfortunate situation that you're actually married to that person, even gets stickier. But for the most part, most of us, we're talking about our parents or maybe our in-laws. And this is one of those unfortunate things where it's very difficult to deal with, because it's never a logical argument. It's never a logical discussion. Maybe logical from your perspective, but the person you're talking to, I pretty much guarantee you that they're going to be nothing but 100% solid emotion. And this article does a great job of ways to handle that, and really to, you know, it's the solution is never arguing your way or arguing your point with the person. It's really to try to find out where they're at and go from there.
Yeah, I noticed from some of the articles in the magazine, it isn't just some of the issues we've been talking about, the people-oriented ones, but also some technical issues like a concise primer on concealment holsters. Or there was one, I think, about should you port or not port your barrel. What other kinds of technical information do you offer? Is it just also gun tests, or is it just a concise article on a specific issue? Or?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Every issue we have at least one gun review. We kind of have one gun review guy who does all these reviews, and he does a great job. And unlike most gun magazines, our gun review guy, actually quite a few times, he's come out and pointed out the negative aspects of a firearm, which... doesn't really help
which
us.
Which means you must not be getting free guns from manufacturers.
Well, we don't get free guns, and quite honestly, we don't have too many gun manufacturer advertisers. But that's okay. So there's always the gun review column. And then, like you mentioned, we also usually have at least two or three very technical articles. We have a few staff writers who are... I mean, there's one fellow that I'm thinking of. I bet you the guy owns 200 holsters. And so you have access to this guy's phenomenal knowledge of what works and what doesn't work. And like another, you mentioned the porting article. That's another just a good solid article about, you know, what are the positive aspects of porting your barrel for a concealed carry weapon, and what are the negatives. And so yeah, those are great examples of some of the more technical articles that are in the magazine.
Well, out of curiosity, since we just have a few moments, give me a positive and give me a negative for having a ported barrel on your gun.
One positive would be the perceived reduction in recoil. Physically, there's actually no reduction in recoil, but some of the gases escape the top of the barrel, so it feels like it's less. That's definitely one of the positives, and probably the biggest negative is that usually a ported barrel in a concealed carry handgun is going to be on a short barrel revolver. And I actually have one myself, and the muzzle blast is just unbelievable, because, I mean, when you shoot that thing, if you shot it in low light, you wouldn't be able to see for a few minutes.
Yeah, so. But if you miss, you did get their attention, right?
That's a good point.
Tim, we're kind of winding down here. Is there anything else you want to say?
All I can say is, Aaron, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today, and I really respect you and JPFO, your organization. If anybody wants to join the USCCA, I'd be more than happy to have you. You can reach our website at www.uscca.us, or you can call our toll-free number, 877-677-1919.
Well, thank you, Tim. In fact, I think if people do contact you, let them know that they heard about you on Talking to America. I've been your host, Aaron Zellman. This has been Talking to America. Our guest today has been Tim Schmidt of the United States Concealed Carry Association, also publisher of Concealed Carry Magazine. And I'd like to remind all of you, if you won't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talkin' to America is a production of JPFO.org.